97.5, 1280, The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Hans is out. But as we mentioned, when Hans leaves, that means we have to have other people kind of help out.
When you both leave.
Those are big size 15s we got to fill. So, what? Frank Dolce joins us now.
Does he wear a size 15?
Yes. Yeah, that's his shoe.
Well,
size.
In one of his feet, one of his shoes.
Do you know his son wears like a size 14?
Yeah, he's getting there. He'll be 15 plus before it's all said and done.
Man, that kid.
That kid's got a future.
He does. Mostly because Amanda is so talented.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, I mean, the size comes from Hans. The athletic talent comes from Amanda.
Yeah, it's a good combination.
Did you know genetics. That he's a 15 in 1 foot and a 15 and a half in the other?
Is that true?
That's true.
No, you're making that up.
I've been with that man for eight years.
I just found this out when you were gone, dude.
One foot hasn't caught up with the other.
Wow, that's interesting.
It'll all even out.
Well, I don't know. He's getting to an age where that
it stops.
I would assume so.
No, he still has 3 or 4, maybe 5 years of growth.
Well, I asked him what he does. He's like, well, I just have, they don't sell them in a half, so he has to wear 15s for both. So just one of his feet just scrunches in.
I would say I would rather just go 16. And then just, you know, one shoe's a little looser than the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
He's got a toe poking up.
I think Lloyd's making that up.
I swear.
Which is unfair.
I swear this is a true story. He told me this when you were gone, like that week you were gone for like the whole week. I'm telling you, I was like, wait, what?
I did one show that week. But yeah.
Well, okay, you did one show. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
What is... I'm not
Pardon
a complete,
me.
Not a complete
you are the voice of the Aggies, so they've had a lot of games lately.
You know, yeah. If I had that cattle prod sound right now, yeah,
I think we're off the rails right now.
You and Lloyd, for sure. Yeah, thank you.
My bad.
You have heard the story about his first size 15 shoes, though, right?
Who's first?
Hans?
No.
Because his parents couldn't find shoes big enough for him, and so they couldn't.
They hope he's not listening right now.
The town clown was in a parade. There's a guy in Weezer that was his job. He was also the golf pro, the town clown. He showed up at
the Santa.
Well, anyway, he was in the
Santa. Yeah,
he was in the Weezer parade, dressed as a clown, and had these big giant oversized shoes. And Han's mom went up to him and says, "Can I buy those shoes from you?" And so Han's first pair of shoes that actually fit him after he got through puberty, or from the town clown.
Oh, my. That's a great story. That's a great...
Yes.
That's like Weezer legend.
I know, right?
They should cast a statue of that occurrence.
And that's the thing. Like, I grew up in small town Idaho, and we never had weird stories like that. Like, there's something in the water at Weezer.
What do you consider small town Idaho?
Well, population 300.
Which town is that?
Declo.
Oh, Declo. I always think of Declo because if you... put the D at the end of Declo, that's Dolce, is spelled backwards. I'm not kidding. When I saw
I've
that
never
sign
in a million years thought that,
this weekend.
I will never not think that.
That's exactly what I see. I was like, hey, they named my town, that town after me, sort of.
Wait, what?
Take Declo, put the D at the end, and it spells Dolce backwards. That's not that hard to figure out.
Now you made Lloyd all salty. You know how they
I made Lloyd salty.
You know that the first five founding members of that area, they used the first name of their first letter of their last name, put it together, and it was Declo, and that's how they.
Is that right?
That is 100%
true. Is that also why they did what's Levan? What? Yeah, Levan.
Oh yeah, I don't know about those.
Naval.
Yeah.
You know, the center of the state.
Oh, I've not heard that.
And so it was like the naval. Not naval ships.
Does that make Ogden the armpit then, or what?
That makes that still makes St. George the armpit.
Oh, okay.
No offense.
All right.
To St. George.
You not like St. George?
I love St. George.
I like Ogden.
I love Southern Utah. I love Ogden. There's many areas of the state that I love. I'm not fond of Utah County in particular.
I think you've expressed that opinion once or twice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but other than that,
it's
an amazing place.
Outside of that one county.
Right. Right.
And, you know, and I've gotten the sense throughout the years the feeling might be mutual on that, too.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm a pretty nice guy, but...
Good dude.
You're right.
All
right,
so you know who's loving life right now is Lincoln Riley.
Oh, man. You know, there is this championship game this week. There's hardly a word about it.
Yep.
Because USC just... I think USC just made the Pac-12 relevant.
Yes.
Again.
Yep. The championship game isn't making Pac-12 relevant, but that hire certainly does.
In fact, I think there are hats coming out making the Pac-12 relevant again right now. They're being produced.
Make the Pac-12 great again. You know.
Yes. So, but we've talked about this. We've talked about this on this show. Like, the Pac-12 is a terrible conference.
Correct.
And I'm not so sure that the Pac-12 is that interested in winning football championships. But I'll tell you who is interested in winning football championships. That's USC. That's a hallmark. That's noteworthy, beyond noteworthy, that they were able to get Lincoln Riley to L.A.
Well, I think the fact that he's looking at going into the SEC and he just becomes another SEC team. You go out to USC and you revitalize that program, you have the whole western part of the United States all to yourself.
No question. There's no question at all. You don't face Nick Saban every year. You don't have
Brian Kelly and LSU, which is something else we need to get to.
That is another one.
That one doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. It makes sense for Brian Kelly because he's going to make a whole boatload of money. And maybe you could say he could recruit better there. He gives himself a better chance maybe at getting to the playoffs. But that's a schedule that's really difficult to overcome on an annual basis. And I don't know. Maybe he's thinking that Saban doesn't last much longer at Alabama. And once Saban's gone, I find it really hard to believe that Alabama's going to achieve at the same rate they're achieving currently. So I don't know. Maybe there's something behind that. I just don't. I think the USC hire of Lincoln Riley is like, that's one that everyone goes, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the Brian Kelly LSU, everyone's like, well, I guess we'll see. We'll see if that works out.
But it from a Pac-12 overall, that was a good day yesterday.
It was an unbelievable
because
day for the Pac-12.
We've always chopped, you know, Urban Meyer. Or, you know, they should have 2 years ago when Urban was on the open market, they should have done everything they can to get Urban, and the school president shut it down. Here, you've got essentially a guy, he's not Urban, but he's the best you can do given the circumstances. Back up the Brinks truck, give him whatever he wants, because all of a sudden you got Jackson Dart, who looks good, but now you got a guy who's coached Jalen Hurts, who's won a Heisman Trophy with Baker Mayfield, with Kyler Murray. All these guys are Lincoln Riley disciples, and you can bring him in, and I mean, the sky's the limit for USC at this point. I'm fired up for it.
So Jackson Dart is there.
Yeah.
Brown, the kid from Corner Canyon, is committed. Malachi, the commit from who was going to go to Oklahoma
just decommitted. Yep.
The
Spencer Rattler just entered the portal.
Spencer Rattler is
now,
in
I don't
the
know
portal.
If
He's
Spencer
not going
Rattler,
to SC.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's not going to land at USC. The running back who had committed to Oklahoma has now opened up again. I mean, this is an earthquake in college football.
I was telling that to somebody yesterday, and they didn't quite buy it. And I'm like, no, I don't think anybody can completely ignore the fact that the landscape of college football just got turned upside down with that hire.
Yeah, and it's all leaning to the West Coast.
Yes,
right now there is such excitement about what he brings, and the other thing that he brings, by the way, is a more traditional USC type of offense. Everybody wants to think that he likes, you know, he has these fancy quarterbacks and he's won the Heisman trophies with quarterbacks. His offensive philosophy is grounded in the running game. It's based on running the football effectively and lots of play action pass off of that. So this fits USC's personality and tradition much, much better than the air raid that we've seen at USC the past couple of years that just didn't really seem to work.
I think it's good for the conference. It may not be good for individual teams in the Pac-12.
Oh, no. But this is good for the conference, and this is telling. If the conference wants to compete, this will, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
Well, this should elevate the conference. Just like Urban Meyer at Ohio State elevated the conference.
Big Ten.
Everybody had to get better.
Yeah.
To compete, everybody's going to have to get better to compete with Lincoln Riley. Right now, there's probably one or two other teams that are ready to compete on that level. Oregon and I think Utah.
Yeah.
We'll see with Washington and their new hire. I'm a little soft on Washington State and their head coaching situation right now. We'll see how that goes.
I'm not a big fan of that hire. I like the guy. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's Washington good.
No, I don't think so either.
And Washington State kind of went the easy way out there. I don't know.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. They didn't really vet anything at all. They were like, this will work.
Probably got him on the cheap, too.
So that's the thing that says to me, like, is the conference really that interested in winning championships? Because if they were, you'd see like USC type hires within the conference. It's not like the money isn't available in the conference to do that. But as a whole, we'll see how this hire, if it elevates everybody else, if it makes everybody else better.
Well, and I think you look at from a standpoint of what this team has been able to do and what the what this conference means on the grand scheme of things in terms of the fact, and I think you said it really well, that nobody has been talking about Utah-Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. We have because, we're here. But on a national stage, does anybody really care Utah's playing Oregon? No, not at all.
No.
Nope. And the fact that now Pac-12 has a little bit of relevancy. I think USC's back in a conference championship game, maybe even next year after, and is in a college football playoff in 2 to 3 years.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. This is USC becomes immediately competitive, and transfer portal and recruiting cycle back in the national picture. And so we're talking about a good conference championship game. Utah versus Oregon with zero national implications. In 2 years, possibly next year, we're talking about the Pac-12 conference championship game and national implications, national football championship implications related to that football game. That's what I think this hire means to the conference.
We're going to spend some time talking about the Utah-Oregon game as well because, we're looking forward to, obviously, what should be a really fun game there. How concerned are you in terms of playing a team that you just smoked 2 weeks ago again? Like, obviously you guys played the game and played at a really high level, so I'll always acquiesce to your experience on this. But Hans is on the side of saying, look, sometimes everybody says, oh, yeah, we want another shot, but deep down you're like, I don't want to play that team again. Is that where Oregon is with Utah right now? Or does Oregon truly think, no, that one got away from us, it won't happen again?
No, I think Oregon's on that side. Like, we didn't throw our best effort out, and we can figure these guys out. And I think they'll give a much better effort. But even with that, as I've watched Oregon throughout the football season and I've watched Utah improve throughout the football season, I would say that Utah's best game on Friday versus Oregon's best game on Friday, I still pick Utah in that game. I think Utah is across the board a better, I'm not saying a more athletic, but I'm saying a better football team. And to me, Oregon has one glaring weakness, and that's at the quarterback position. So if you just take those two, I think Cam Rising is more – well, fits Utah's offense better than Brown fits what Oregon is trying to do offensively. So so in that scenario, Utah's best versus Oregon's best, I still give Utah the nod. Now, you know, all these other factors come into play, turnovers and turnover specifically, but anything else. If Utah throws out an average effort like they did a week ago against Colorado, then Oregon takes that game.
Yeah.
But best versus best, I still think Utah comes out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, Melissa's with us. We're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. Call right now, 801-285-9731. That's 801-285-9731. And Melissa, we haven't talked about this enough. You got seven locations. So if you're hearing us, wherever you're at, there's going to be a location near you where you can get this taken care of.
Absolutely. So for your listeners out there, if they can answer yes to any of these questions, they really need to come and see us. Do you struggle with daytime fatigue? Are you tired for a lot of your day?
2 o'clock hits and you're ready to shut it down for the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you often wake up with a morning headache? Frankly, that's a sign that your brain is not getting enough oxygen.
That's the thing
night.
That really tipped me off is I'd wake up and I'd have to pop a couple ibuprofens because it's like, you know, every morning it seemed like I was waking up with a headache.
Yeah, that's not a normal thing.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, do you snore? A lot of people think that snoring's just an annoying noise, but it's actually a sign that you're struggling to breathe and also not getting enough oxygen. So if you can answer yes to any of those questions, you need to give us a call right now. Sound Sleep Medical is offering a free sleep consultation today, but also a free sleep screening. This means you can test at home in the comfort of your own bed to find out whether or not you have sleep apnea. And really, if you're age 40 and over and you've never done a sleep screening, you need to. It needs to be on your list of health to-dos.
So everybody thinks if I have sleep apnea, I've got to go to a CPAP machine. I've got to spend all this money for a big machine that I've got to clean and use distilled water and all the stuff that goes into it. Whereas that's not the case. There's an oral appliance that will replace that CPAP machine and eliminate that sleep apnea.
Absolutely. It's really an easy fix for a serious problem. It's a custom-made mouthpiece. It's going to be the perfect size, the perfect fit for you. Just wear it in your mouth. And if you're questioning, you know, gosh, I don't know if I could sleep with something in my mouth, we have a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's kind of your safety net to let you try it, make sure it's going to work for you. Without all the risk.
So really, a 3-year warranty, and that's the other thing too, and you've done this for me, if there's ever any dental work, you have a crown and it doesn't quite fit the same, you'll bring it back in and you'll adjust it to make sure it fits.
Absolutely.
You got the 30-day money-back guarantee, financing options, most medical insurance companies will help out. It's really a no-brainer.
Right, and it's a great time of year to look into it because it's likely covered by your health insurance. You may have met your deductible, so why not?
801-285-9731. Call right now, 801-285-9731. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unripe.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
Utah plays on Friday, and then the Pac-12 championship game's on Friday. So it's one whole week for Utah. It's one less day of a week for the other team. They both have to travel. If Utah takes care of its business, maybe it, you know, kind of coasts its way to a victory and can rest some players even more.
I don't like the juju that comes with you saying that kind of stuff. It'd be nice to put this thing away early, kind of get these guys resting up and just, you know, coast.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Got a coconut marshmallow.
Yeah.
You want to try that?
Send it.
All right.
If you have other flavors, then send those over here, too. I love all the flavors, but...
You guys want a Built Bar? We've got tons of Built Bars.
Wait, what flavor is that? What did you give her?
Vanilla cream.
Well, how come I didn't? I only got coconut marshmallow. You have a whole box over there, and you won't give me each of the flavors?
I just reached into the... Look, Lloyd's got the one that's got the box.
Give me the vanilla cream,
too. You want
the
vanilla cream? And are you okay if he takes the vanilla cream? Okay.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Frank. You stop by the studio, and I'll get you some more.
You want
I've got like two boxes.
Yep, I do. Thanks.
No, you don't get the strawberry marshmallow.
I want the strawberry marshmallow. I want to try all of the flavors.
You're like
Cherry Barcia is my favorite.
Okay, you get one Built Bar. Like, it's not like you're going to collect all of them.
Wait a second. We're the talent. We get all of them. Like, Tom Cruise gets...
He sells just like hands.
This must be a former player thing.
It totally is.
Tom Cruise, when he gets his trailer on the set of Mission Impossible 24, he gets the full bowl of peanut M&Ms. Only the red ones. Do you know that?
Peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, only the red ones. He gets all the Jelly Bellies he wants. So, I mean, what's going on here? Give me those. The strawberry cream.
I thought it was nice of me to offer you one. I didn't know that you were going to be like, I want all of them. I mean,
you have a whole box.
I do not have a whole box. I was there yesterday. I have
the Built Bars.
I had four in my bag, and there were four of us. So I thought I would just go ahead and each one of us would enjoy a nice Built Bar. I didn't know that you would go, I'm going to take all of the Built Bars.
But shouldn't we introduce
if you want strawberry marshmallow?
Who's with us here today? Maybe. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Then hand back the vanilla cream.
What?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I could do that. Now that I have them,
I do owe you a lot for a lot of milkshakes, which would have been nice if we would have had one of those today. But
you guys are the worst. I try to do. That was such a fun thing to do, and we don't even do one today because Pac-12 shakedown. And then you guys ruined it. You ruined it. You and Hance decided that.
Well, I mean,
the prospect of diabetes.
Yes, we were trying to make better life choices.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just don't. Sometimes you make a poor life choice. If having a milkshake is making a poor life choice,
we're not all built like Greek gods like you. I mean, good genetics and good healthy living has helped you out.
First of all, let's just get something straight. The Greeks.
Okay, sorry, Italian. Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah. That's my mistake.
Okay, yeah. Then secondly, I mean, shouldn't we give some credit to the people who make this happen?
Yeah, by giving them Built Bars? Yeah.
You know what? I've got that audio. Do you remember what Hans pulled with you that one time? Remember when there was like a new one and he wanted you to open yours so you could have eat yours?
Yeah, so they had...
I've got the audio of that right now.
Oh, okay. So yeah, here's the new flavor of Built Bar that they gave each one of us, one of these brand new Built Bars. And Hans is like, why don't you open yours up and let's try it? Go ahead. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty. Hey, by the way, we got them. The coconut brownie chunk, Hans.
It is in our possession.
You want to take a bite of one and on the air?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I do. Crack one open.
No. You crack it open. And you describe it.
Brenna, you crack yours open. Brenna, will you crack yours open and we'll all take a piece off of yours? I just don't, I'm not ready to use one of mine yet.
I already gave two to...
You are the worst.
I gave two of mine to Johnny so he can get one back to Lloyd.
Come on.
Oh. I can't believe you stole one from Brenna. What is wrong with you?
She didn't want to give it up either. Oh. She's like, no. It's like, you get your own.
Yeah.
I hate to admit that I'm very much aligned with Hans.
I know you are.
On that.
Yeah. And somehow you just took three of my Built Bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. All right, but you have a whole box, so.
I do not have a whole box. I have one left. I don't even want to get it out here because he'll take that one too.
Lloyd, does he have a whole box?
No.
No, there is a box somewhere,
okay.
But I think Lloyd took it.
You only have one left?
No, they're my boxes now.
Okay, you pick which of these three that you want, and I'll give it back to you.
I'll take the strawberry.
It's yours. Right. Okay, now I ended up with two very good. I'm very happy with
you're very
two.
Happy with that selection.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right, let's get to it. All right, so, hey, I wanted to touch base on, okay, so we talked a little bit about about the Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Tell me why, outside of money, why Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame and goes to LSU. Because that one I have a hard time. You've got a playoff committee that wants desperately to put Notre Dame in every single year. I thought Lloyd pointed that out well. You can set your own schedule. You're not playing Alabama every year. So you can, if you can kind of project on making your schedule a little lighter. You're guaranteed, if you're halfway decent, 9 to 11 wins every year. I just don't know why you'd ever want to leave that.
I don't think winning a national championship at Notre Dame, if that's your goal, you're fighting an uphill battle. You're just not going to be able to get the same athletes that other programs across the country are able to acquire. So if Brian Kelly wants to win a national championship, if 9 wins, 8, 9, 10 wins a year isn't good enough for him, then he can't stay at Notre Dame.
Because every year he goes to the playoffs, he gets boat raced.
Yeah, it's not even close.
And so you bring up a good point there. He'll never win a college football playoff there at Notre Dame.
No. It's like it's the same reason why Urban Meyer went to Florida and not Notre Dame. Because he did the plus and minuses.
Yep.
And the big plus was, I can win national championships at Florida. And then he did. Mm-hmm. I think Brian Kelly is a very, very, he's kind of an elite status coach. And I think he's overperformed at Notre Dame. When was the last time we had some guy from Notre Dame? I can't even name anyone on the team who's like a national presence, a guy that's a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Manti Te'o. I mean, he was a Heisman finalist.
And he had his own issues. So, I mean, but at LSU, you're looking at probably on an annual basis, you're looking at, of your 11 guys on defense, you probably have 7 or 8 that are going to be playing on Sundays or the potential to play on Sundays. On the offensive side, your offensive, you can build an offensive line there that is just going to blow people off the ball. I mean, he gives himself a much better opportunity to win on the national level, even with Alabama, Georgia, everybody else he's going to have to face in that conference. So I think the money is significant, maybe the most significant, and the ability to compete on a national scale.
But then also the ability to get fired in 2 years.
And then the ability to get fired and buy a boat.
Yeah, no, you'll get a nice buyout.
But. Yeah, by boat, I was trying to emphasize the B on boat, like a boat, like a really, like a Tiger Woods kind of boat.
Yes. And, that.
BSS privacy is what you're talking about.
I think we say privacy.
Is owning a boat ever, been high on your list? And do you own a boat, number one?
Owning a boat has once been high on my list. And then when you have a boat,
you realize you're just spending
money. What you realize is, hey, look at that boat in that garage collecting dust over there. So that's my thought.
And then it's time to get rid of the
boat. So there's a difference, because when you have a boat, when you have your own boat, then you're like, you're the captain, you're Gilligan, you're Doc, you're Isaac, you're everybody.
Oh, you just went Love Boat?
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Good call by you.
Thank you.
Isaac was the best.
Isaac. I think Doc would have some HR issues.
Yeah.
Days.
No. Never mind.
When you have your own boat, you're everybody.
Yeah.
And then when you're Tiger Woods, then you just show up.
Yeah. Everybody.
And you get on the boat, and then.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you get off the boat, and then you just walk away.
Everybody else, the crew cleans it and takes care of it and everything else. Yeah. So if I could have a boat like that, then I would definitely have a boat. That's the kind of boat that Brian Kelly has in his future.
The get on the boat, get off the boat.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's fair.
You got it.
That's fair. It just, I think you put it, look, if he wants to win a national championship, you got to go somewhere else. And he'll get paid a lot of money. And if he does it, that'll be great. Even though, you know, Ed Orgeron won himself a national championship and then still got fired 2 years later.
Yes, but Ed Orgeron lost his focus. Have you read those stories?
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. He lost his focus.
You know, and I don't know how long Ed was married, but guys that get married for a long time and then all of a sudden they're not married.
He was married for a long time.
And then they're not married and they're realizing there's things I could have been doing all these years that I was married. And apparently Ed Orgeron wanted to do all of those things.
In one night and take photos of it and release photos of it.
Yes. Too. And so that probably may have been the best move for LSU to move on from him.
Yeah, I think his football credentials weren't necessarily the thing. It was all the baggage surrounding him. And he lost, you know, in lots of ways, he kind of lost the team. He lost the culture of that team.
Or he just lost Joe Burrow to the NFL. And when you don't have great players or you don't replace your great players with other great players, then you're going to be out.
Clemson?
Clemson.
Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, Clemson went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence to now some shoe clerk, and now they're not good anymore.
Which I love, by the way, because I've never been a Dabo guy. I think that his shtick is so, like, it's so transparent. I don't get why people don't see through it. Like, I just don't believe anything that he says. And he was crowned like the greatest ever. And so I kind of enjoy that there's a little bit of a reality check for Dabo.
I mean, to his credit, I think this is like why Nick Saban is so great, is because somebody can always, like, there was a guy at Auburn who, you know, lucked into Cam Newton, won a national title, and he was fired 2 years later. You know, same thing with Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow. Like, you can catch fire every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to consistently pump out winning team year after year after year after year, that is crazy impressive.
Could not agree more. Not only the recruiting, keeping the pipeline full, keeping athletes at that school, he loses at least a coordinator a year.
Yeah. Yep.
And several coaches per year. He keeps reloading and reloading and reloading. So I think what he's overcome, and for the length of time that he's been successful right at the top of the game, I just don't know if there's anybody, I'm including Urban Meyer, I don't know if there's anybody better than Nick Saban.
By the way, how crazy was that game?
Oh my gosh. I was listening to that game. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't in front of a TV, and I love listening to a radio broadcast anyway. So I was listening to that game. It gets down to a minute, 97 yards, and I just kept thinking, there's no way that Saban doesn't figure this out. There's no way he doesn't figure this out. And lo and behold, he figures it out.
I was supposed to be doing a pregame interview with Utah State's basketball coach, and we're sitting in his office about to record it, and he's like, hold up, they're coming back. And I'm like, you sure about this? He's like, no, it's Saban. They're going to go down and win this game.
Yeah.
And it's 4th and 6, no big deal. 20 seconds left, no big deal. Boom.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Unreal. Unreal. Well, I mean, would you say that Kyle Whittingham is Utah's own Nick Saban?
Yeah, I would say so, because I think that the fact that he had the 2 5-7 seasons as mm-hmm. they adjusted into the Pac-12, and mm-hmm. since then, and you know, look, you've been a Pac-12 fan forever. PK said this forever because he grew up watching the Pac-12, and all the guys that were knee deep in the Pac-12 their whole lives that just ate, drink, and slept Pac-12 football. They kept telling every time when Utah got in, they're like, look, there's going to be a good year, there's going to be a bad year. There's going to be a good year, there's going to be a bad year. And it's a roller coaster, and just be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Utah, outside of 5-7, they've never had that losing season again,
and
which is remarkable in this conference. And I know the Pac-12's down, but the high level of play that they've been able to maintain throughout a high level of consistency, Arizona's never been able to do it. Cal's never been able to do it. You know, Colorado's been a dumpster fire their whole time. I mean, you know, it's been a mess for them.
Is it Colorado's had 9 head coaches in the time that Kyle Whittingham has been head coach at Utah?
I could find that's a great question to ask. It might have been 9 in the last 9 years, it feels like.
It's something like that. But there's no question. I'm hoping that Utah's win against Colorado wasn't Coach Whittingham's last win at Rice-Eccles Stadium, meaning he's, you know, going off into the sunset.
He was pretty quick to shut down the retirement rumors.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that the team that is coming back next year, he's very high on that football team and the talent on that football team. So that, you know, that's something to consider. But when Coach Whittingham finally does decide to call it quits, I think we're going to look back on his list of achievements and maybe just kind of gasp about all that he's been able to do. And we get caught up in, you know, there's been several times during his career when fans are calling for his head and he's too this and he's too that and he has his thumb on the offense and he's too conservative and they have no identity. And even this year, you know, starting out the season 1-2 and people are going crazy. When we get a chance to just look back on all he's done, I think we'll be amazed.
Yeah, I think they need to have a statue, name the field after him. I don't care what you do, but you're not in the Pac-12 without Kyle Whittingham.
If they name the field after him, will it still be the house that Frank built? I mean, because that's a thing.
That's a good point.
But it's Kyle Whittingham Field
at the house that Frank Dolce built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how it'll go. Something like that.
All right. So when Kyle Whittingham took the job at Utah 2005, Gary Barnett was the coach at Colorado.
Who?
Remember the old Northwestern coach.
Yes.
Took over for Rick Neuheisel. Then it was Dan Hawkins. Hawkins had it from 2006 to 2010.
Oh, my goodness.
Then it was John Embree. That went over well. He had a combined record of 4-21. Then it was Mike McIntyre. Then it was Mel Tucker. Then Carl Durrell. So six coaches.
Six coaches. Wow. In his time.
Yeah.
At Utah. That's pretty amazing. You know, not to get off track here, but what do you think of Mel Tucker?
Cash those checks, big fella. I don't understand how. I don't understand why, but good for you.
I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get that one, but I agree with you. Cash those checks.
All right. Hans and Scotty coming up next. We continue on Whole World News. Also coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little bit more USC. It's all straight ahead. You're listening to Hans and Scotty right here on the Zone Sports Network.
For Kyle Whittingham and the Utes, it all comes down to this. It's the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas as the Utes look to claim their first ever Pac-12 title. The Zone Sports Network will be in Las Vegas with nonstop blow-out-the-budget coverage of the Utes as they battle Oregon for a spot in the Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands.
It is another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We will stick with sports. First comments from our guy Tiger Woods. You're a Tiger guy, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I figured as much. Tiger Woods, optimistic about playing some limited professional golf in the future, but also says that I'm lucky to be alive. I'm also lucky to have a limb. I know I will probably never compete at a high level in golf ever again.
At a high level,
meaning winning tournaments.
He'll probably still be a scratch golfer. Like for guys like you who are 16s and 18s, like me.
You're not 18.
So when he says
you say that, but I bet you're like a 5.
When he says never compete at a high level again, like being a scratch golfer.
He's talking about winning a Masters. Like when we talk about being a high-level golfer, okay, yeah. Not you, me. I thought about being single-digit handicap, which will never happen.
No, that you could. Absolutely. There's no question.
He's first talking all, about winning a Masters.
Move up your tees. Move up to the...
To the reds? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. None of that seems to work for me. But, yeah, I'm a big Tiger guy.
Well, here's some of the comments from Tiger Woods. in his first public comments since, of course, the accident.
But to wrap up for a few events a year, as I alluded to yesterday, like Mr. Hogan did, he did a pretty good job of it. And there's no reason why I can't do that and feel ready. I may not be tournament sharp in the sense that I hadn't played tournaments, but I think if you practice correctly and you do it correctly, that I've come off surgeries before, I've come off long layoffs, and I've won or I've come close to winning before. So I know the recipe for it. I just got to get to a point where I feel comfortable enough where I can do that again.
Well, let's go.
Let's go, Tiger.
I just want to watch see him back out on the course again.
I would too. It just changes. Like,
yeah.
When he's in a tournament, whenever he's in a tournament, it's just a different thing. And no one's been able to replace that.
I mean, no disrespect to Kepka, DeChambeau, or whatever jabronis out there. I don't care. I'm bored.
Lightweights.
Yes.
In Tiger's heyday versus any of those guys,
Tiger would destroy him.
Destroy all of them.
Because Tiger's also more mentally strong. We take 2001 Tiger Woods, and you put him on today's tournament, he would snap these guys like they're nothing because they're mentally weak.
They couldn't approach. Skill-wise, they could approach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What he did. But the ability to hit shots under pressure regularly would separate him from everybody else.
And to have, like, let's say DeChambeau's got a one-shot lead and he's coming down 18 and he hears the roar on 16 because Tiger, and he knows, he's like, oh, crap, here he comes.
Yeah, he's going to chunk the next one in the water. He's going to three-putt.
Exactly.
And
there's no way.
By the way, I've become a huge fan of DeChambeau after...
You would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm only a fan of his...
Of Brooksy?
No, I mean, I'm a fan of DeChambeau because of the way that he managed the Ryder Cup. Like, he was completely dialed in, the Ryder Cup. And he didn't go through all of his antics and everything else, so I've become kind of a DeChambeau guy. But, like, he couldn't compete.
No.
There's no way he could compete with Tiger. Brooks Koepka is the same. No way. DJ, I think DJ might keep it close for a minute. Spieth, no.
Yeah.
Rory, no.
No, no, no way.
No, no. Tiger, all time.
All right, live here at Sound Sleep Medical, Melissa's with us. And right now, you need to call 801-285-9731 because Melissa's kind enough to offer a free sleep screening and a free sleep consultation. You will know if you have sleep apnea and how bad it is, and you will do so absolutely for free.
Yep, call that number right now. And in addition, Scotty, with it being the last hour of the show, call during this last hour. We're going to throw your name into a drawing for our Better Sleep gift package, which includes a purple pillow, a minky blanket, and a $100 Amazon gift card.
Whoa, now we're talking.
Now we're talking. Sweeten the deal.
Absolutely. So you're going to get the free sleep screening, free sleep consultation. You'll find out if you have sleep apnea, how bad it is. You'll be in the drawing for that purple pillow, the Minky Couture blanket, and a $100 gift card. Just for calling, and you don't have to pay a dime for any of that.
Not a dime and no obligation.
Wow.
And you may be making a huge first step towards better health now, today, but also in the future. You know, if you have sleep apnea and you're just ignoring it because you don't want to know or you just are too busy to look into it, it's going to catch up to you down the road.
Yeah.
You don't have enough oxygen during the night. You're risking all sorts of health issues down the road as you age.
Now, if somebody's just joining us, they're thinking, well, that's because they want to hook me up with a CPAP machine. No, you don't have to be like Darth Vader while you're trying to sleep. It's a mouth guard or a bleach tray. You're not hooked up to a machine. None of the masks, none of the hoses. It's an appliance.
Right, and it's custom made just for you. Each of our offices has a 3D scanner. This small little camera will put inside your mouth for just a few minutes. It's going to be the perfect fit. Really comfortable, really slim, but it does the job. Stabilizes your lower jaw to keep your airway open. Your oxygen levels up. You will feel better today, sleep better today, but you'll have a better life in the future.
801-285-9731. That's the number to call. Let's do it right now. 801-285-9731 right here on the Zone Sports Network.